SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water.
Yama, and welcome to NITV Radio. Bertrand Tungandami ngaya. I'm Bertrand Tungandami. Coming up in your program this Friday, the 19th of April, we explore the growing impact of Indigenous businesses in the Australian economy as these businesses continue to strengthen First Nations self-determination. Also in your program today, the story of the Mulgabaw Hard Rock, a six-piece teenage rock band made up of brothers and cousins from the remote Central Australian desert as they're set to ignite Pajima in Alice Springs this weekend. Also on NITV Radio today, we have a conversation with rugby league legend Sam Thaide to give us some insights into the Queensland music trails as these trails blaze through Queensland's southwest, showcasing the best of First Nations music and culture. All these stories and more coming to you on NITV Radio after the latest news.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
This bulletin, an Indigenous boy's suicide while in state care raises questions about the system's capacity amid rising numbers in out-of-home care. A 16-year-old boy charged with a terrorism offence over an alleged stabbing at a Sydney church. And the United States vetoes a Palestinian request for full membership to the United Nations organisation. The parents of a 10-year-old boy who took his own life in state care were made to jump through hoop after hoop in their failed bid to be reunited. The child died on Friday night in Perth while under the care of the Department of Communities. National Suicide Prevention and Trauma Recovery Project Director Megan Krakwa says the family found the department has been unsupportive and judgmental while they were trying to be reunited with the boy. WA Premier Roger Cook says the death is concerning.
We only ever remove a child from the care of its family or its parents as a final and last resort in order to maintain the safety and well-being of that child. It's always horrible when you see a young child resort to what must be the most desperate act.
Mr. Cook says the welfare of West Australia's children is the government's number one priority. A Senate inquiry in Darwin has heard what was called the epidemic of domestic violence against Indigenous women in the Northern Territory cannot be properly addressed without some radical change. Former WA police officer and now Senator Dorinda Cox says police are a massive part of the problem. The inquiry also heard from Sachin Sharma, the Northern Territory's police commander for domestic violence and youth services. He says the status quo cannot be kept in place when the incidence of intimate partner domestic violence in the NT is more than seven times the national average. A 16-year-old boy has been charged with a terrorism offence following an Australian federal police investigation into a stabbing at a Sydney church. Police were called to the Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Wakeley on Monday evening, where Bishop Ma Mari Emmanuel was allegedly stabbed up to six times during a live-streamed sermon. The teenager is currently under police guard in hospital after undergoing surgery for a severed finger sustained following the attack. He is due to front a bedside hearing today, facing the Parramatta Children's Court. New South Wales Police Commissioner Karen Webb says a heightened police presence is being deployed at places of worship across Sydney.
We have extra officers deployed. We've deployed extra officers since Monday night, particularly in southwest Sydney, but across Sydney to patrol places of worship and other important installations. The community should have no current concerns for their safety.
The commissioner also urged people to resist sharing misinformation on social media, saying people should get their information from police and law enforcement authorities. The charge also comes as investigators hunt for as many as 50 people involved in a violent riot that unfolded after the incident. Sydney's Westfield Bondi Junction shopping centre, the site of a deadly stabbing attack that killed six people and injured several others, reopened for trading this morning. The centre opened to the public from 9:30 a.m. local time, although not all stores are reopened at this time. Security guards working at the centre were given stab-proof vests. No advertisements or loud music will be played as a sign of respect to the victims and those injured. 1 week's rent is being waived for tenants. And meanwhile, an unsung hero of the Bondi Junction stabbing attack is being recognised, with the Prime Minister confirming the injured Pakistani security guard will be offered a permanent visa. Mohammed Taha was taken to hospital after confronting attacker Joel Kauchi during his stabbing rampage on Saturday, the 13th of April, which killed six people. While French construction worker Damien Guéraud was offered a permanent visa for his actions, Mr. Taha asked whether he could receive a similar offer for his efforts. Mr. Taha is reportedly in Australia on a graduate visa that is due to expire. Asked on 5AAA Adelaide whether a similar offer of citizenship or visa would be put to Mr. Taha, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese confirmed the move.
Yes, we certainly will. He confronted the perpetrator, Joel Kauchi, on Saturday. And it just shows extraordinary courage. I mean, these are people who were putting themselves in danger in order to protect Australians who they didn't know, just people going about doing their shopping. And that's the sort of courage that we want to say thank you to, frankly.
The United States has vetoed a Security Council resolution recommending Palestine be granted full membership to the United Nations. 12 voted in favour of the resolution, with 2 abstentions from the United Kingdom and Switzerland. In order for a draft resolution to pass, at least 9 members must vote in favour, with none of these permanent members, China, France, Russia, the United Kingdom and the United States, using their veto power. Robert Wood is the U.S. Alternate Representative for Special Political Affairs at the United Nations.
We have long called on the Palestinian Authority to undertake necessary reforms to help establish the attributes of readiness for statehood, and note that Hamas, a terrorist organization, is currently exerting power and influence in Gaza, an integral part of the state envisioned in this resolution.
Mr. Wood,
for these reasons, the United States voted no on this Security Council resolution.
Mr. Wood says the U.S. continues to support a two-state solution. He says this vote does not reflect opposition to Palestinian statehood, but instead is an acknowledgement that will only come from direct negotiations between the parties. The European Union's top diplomat, Josep Borrell, says EU countries must send their anti-missile systems to bolster Ukraine's air defences as Russia pounds its cities, warning that they cannot just rely on the United States. Mr. Borrell spoke at a meeting of the G7 foreign ministers in Italy, calling on Western countries to act quickly in support of Ukraine's defense systems or risk victory for Russian President Vladimir Putin.
On the following days, concrete decisions have to be taken in order to send to Ukraine more air defense. Otherwise, the electricity system of Ukraine will be destroyed, and no country can fight without having electricity.
Australia's Save the Children Fund says the federal government should consider increasing foreign aid and not simply pouring money into the defence budget. It's been announced that defence will get another $50 billion over the next 10 years. A new defence spending is expected to pass $100 billion by 2034. Save the Children Australia Chief Executive Officer Matt Tinkler has told Radio 3AW he's hoping this country's aid contribution will also be increased in next month's federal budget.
We've got to do both is the main point. And at the moment, unfortunately, our expenditure in development and humanitarian aid is just withering on the vine.
And this year's Women's State of Origin Rugby League series will definitely end with a winner, with a third game in this series announced. Last year, there were only two games, with Queensland and New South Wales winning one apiece. At the 2024 series in Brisbane, it was announced there will be three games played for the first time. Sky Blues' Jamie Chapman told 4BC it will be a blockbuster series.
Very exciting time to be a woman playing professional rugby league, and especially with three games this year. There's no game that compares to Origin. I just think, you know, it's just so tough and so much rivalry.
And now having a look at the weather around the country. Broome, sunny 36. Perth, similar forecast 31. Adelaide, a shower or 220. Melbourne, showers easing 18. Hobart, cloudy 17. Albury-Wodonga, sunny 20. Canberra, possible shower 19. Wollongong, a shower or 220. Sydney, much the same and 22. Newcastle, showers developing 23. Brisbane, sunny 29. Townsville, mostly cloudy 29. Cairns, a shower or 230. Alice Springs, sunny 24. Darwin, mostly sunny, 35, and the Torres Strait Islands, a partly cloudy day ahead and a top of 30 degrees. And that is NITV Radio News.
NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online.
I'm Bertrand Tungandame, and you're listening to NITV Radio, broadcasting from Nam on the Kulin Nation this Friday afternoon. Coming up next, conversation with Rebecca McLean, producer and director of the Mulgabo Hard Rock, a six-piece teenage rock band made up of brothers and sisters and cousins from the remote Central Australian Desert, as the band is set to ignite Pajima 2024 in Alice Springs this weekend. Also on NITV Radio today, rugby league legend Sammy Thaide will give us some insights into the Queensland music trails as the trails blaze through Queensland's southwest, showcasing the best of First Nations music and culture. But first, did you know that despite the odds, Indigenous businesses are growing at a very quick pace, while at the same time, they boost First Nations self-determination.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
Indigenous-led businesses and traders are having a growing impact on the nation's economy. A new snapshot has shown their growing impact doesn't just extend to monetary value, but also more opportunity and self-determination for Indigenous people. Alex Anifantis reports.
Corey Turner is the owner of Adelaide's Living Kana Culture Centre, one of the many local businesses founded by members of the Indigenous community. He says he wants to share the knowledge of his heritage.
We are about really building people's education about First Nations people, particularly here in Adelaide. We want to make sure that everyone's familiar and they recognise that they're on Kana country. And we like, you know, taking younger people and educating them.
The family company is among a growing number of Indigenous-led businesses to expand the reach of their traditional knowledge through entrepreneurship. Michelle Evans is an associate professor in leadership management and marketing for the University of Melbourne.
What you're seeing out of the Indigenous business sector is these businesses that are quite incredible that individuals and family groups are able to put not only just an incredible work ethic to get these businesses growing, but are bringing their expertise, their cultural knowledge.
In 2022, the Reserve Bank reported the First Nations sector had expanded at a pace of 4% between 2006 and 2018. A new snapshot of the sector, which examined more than 13,500 First Nations-led businesses and traders, suggests that percentage has now accelerated to between 6 and 12% for small businesses. Malandari McCarthy is the Assistant Minister for Indigenous Australians.
To have this kind of study reveal early indications of positivity around First Nations businesses thriving certainly is very encouraging.
Access to capital and financial knowledge remain potential barriers, making government support, including tailored contracts, crucial to success. Professor Evans says local community is also significant.
Everyday Australians can get behind Indigenous businesses by buying from Indigenous businesses. And the best way to be able to find those excellent businesses is to look at the Indigenous business directories, like your local Aboriginal Chamber of Commerce or Supply Nation.
Kane Bolitano is an associate professor at the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research. He says Indigenous businesses help communities thrive.
One of the most important benefits is just opportunities for Indigenous people to develop wealth and also employment, including jobs in regional and remote areas, but also in terms of sharing cultural knowledge. So a lot of businesses, when they go about their day-to-day, they're sharing Indigenous knowledge that's been developed over 60,000 years.
Alex Anifantis, SBS News.
NITV Radio, on radio, online and mobile.
We must now step aside for a break, but stay with us, because when we come back, we have the story of the Mulgabaw Hard Rock, an exciting teenage rock band and one of the most anticipated bands at Pajima 2024 in Alice Springs this weekend.
NITV Radio, share our stories on Facebook.
The Mulgabaw Hard Rock is a six-piece teenage rock band made up of brothers and cousins from the remote Central Australian community of Akay. The performance in the context of Pajima 2024 is one of the most anticipated events of the 10-day festival. And to learn more about this exciting teenage band, I'm joined by Rebecca McLean, their manager. Rebecca, thanks for joining us and welcome to NITV Radio.
Good morning. Thank you.
Now, Rebecca, it's said that the Mulgabaw Hard Rock are bringing their own style of hard rock from the heart of the desert to Pajima this year. What can you tell us about this exciting teenage band and their performance at Pajima 2024?
Mulgabaw Hard Rock are made up of an amazing group of young people who are all from one family. In one way or another, they are part of the bird family. They're a Mudjara from Mulgabaw, which is about 170 k's northeast of Alice Springs. And it's a family of musicians, so it sort of was a natural that these kids were going to play music. They've always played music. The leader of the band, lead guitarist, singer, songwriter, genius, is Alvin Manfong. He's now 18. He's very passionate and has always taken a real interest in lead guitar and has had many idols over his years. You know, his few years is only young, but he's, you know, with his uncles, his father, very passionate about music. He, you know, just wanted to be, he's like a sponge. He wanted to learn. As a kid, he's been playing, and then they sort of have a family band with the young people together, and it became very inclusive and also became, you know, part of the school and the education process as well.
So how did you meet them and how did you start working with them?
I was working at the Bachelor Institute in Alice and we were doing a multi-camp production course and I was looking for bands and a friend of mine introduced me to a band that they'd been supporting and mentoring. I met them and said, would you like to come into the course? They jumped at it. So I said, we can make a music video, right, at Impaja Studios, which we've been able to use. We all just clicked that they were just so good. Their first song, Big Train, they'd recorded at Karma. And I said, wow, we came to the studio in February to do the course. you know, we couldn't stop dancing. And then everybody in the family wanted to come in, so everybody came in, and it was really lovely because a lot of the uncles and that signed up as well. They wanted to do the course because you had two bands. One would play and one would record, and then they'd swap. Then they'd learn presentation to camera and also how to use the cameras, how to direct with vision switching and all of that. And they were really good at it, and they did a fabulous job. And the 3 weeks, it was the first week was introduction, second week start to really hone down, third week bring in all your gear and let's dress up and make it a proper music video. And they were kind of bugging me the whole time about wanting to get Kiss. They loved Kiss at the time. Oh, I want it. You know, can we get some makeup? Can we do this? Can we do that? Anyway, the teacher, Paisley, was out at Marlborough, and she came in, and we went to Mad Harry's and got some makeup and got bits and bobs. Anyway, we had this mad idea about, wow, this, wouldn't it be amazing having Kiss in the movie, in the music video? And then we looked at our phones, and it turned out they were coming to town, so we go, all right, well, let's try and get them. What a, you know, what are we? It was a bit of a joke, but it turned into a reality, which is something that, you know, these guys are so passionate that they kept bugging me. What about that Kiss? Have you got Kiss? Have you got? They're like, oh yeah, right. I'll go and get Kiss. But sure enough, they pushed me enough. I ended up following every sort of avenue that I could and struck it lucky when Gina Riley, who I know. She's also a singer, and I knew she, if anyone could find me called Dainty, which I thought was a promoter, but it turned out it wasn't. But we got to Dainty. She said, no worries, Rebecca, I'll see what I can do. It all took time, but in the end, we got on to Dainty, and he then passed it on to Andrew McManus, and Andrew McManus responded. I mean, I had to push around a bit to, you know, bump it, you know, get him to move. But when he when we did, he said, all right, well, why don't we do this? Do you want to play? And I'm like, what? I said, can you explain, can you go through that again? I'm not quite sure what you mean by that. Anyway, he said, yeah, well, do you want to play? Do a half-hour set, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, that it all started from there, and I went out to the school, met with Pacer and the family, and we all sat down. We had a big discussion about it, and I said, well, guys, what do you reckon? Do you want to go to Gold Coast and play with Kiss? We're a bit... dumbstruck. We're all sort of just in a bit of shock. Anyway, yes, was the answer. Yeah. So we raised money and the whole family came, like 30 people came. We all went.
Wow. Pajama is already underway. Have they appeared already or they are still yet to appear?
We're playing Saturday night. Yeah, we just did a gig in Canberra. Before that, we were Mona Foma. So that, you know, their performances are getting better and better. We've recorded an album down in St Kilda at Hot House Studios. You know, did a lot of rehearsals and support with Songlines Aboriginal Music in Yarraville. So, yeah, we had all those guys, you know, jumped on board and supported us. So we did a big lot of rehearsals in January, and then the band were on the Share the Spirit stage. So that was Robbie Bundle and Brad Brown and Dylan Singh. Supported us and got us up there on the stage, and everybody just loved the band. And my friends did some costumes, we improved the makeup, hairstyles, and photo shoots. And now they're so professional now. We're in sync with each other. We know what we're doing. We've got a pathway. We're going to make the music videos.
So one would say that the band grew organically to become what they are now, almost a household name.
The package is coming together. We're a very strong team and includes not just the six band members, which is Alvin Manfong lead, then Kirkland Bird, he's the eldest actually, he's the bass player, and then Trial Bird, cousin, is a rhythm player, and Talvin Bird is a second bass player, and then Aidan is the drummer, and Aidan Manfong, which is Alvin's younger brother, he's 15, and then we have Neera Tilmouth, who is the percussion, and she's the only girl in the band, and she's really fantastic, and she's just really getting her strength and starting to step up, and you know she'll take on some more instruments soon, and yeah, she's a very positive influence on the group, and we travel always with an auntie, Maggie Bird. She comes and yeah, supporting Amira, and we're a big family. I'm part of their extended family, and they're part of mine. So and we've got Dave Walker, who comes as stage manager now, and also is producer on the album. So we're a good team. We've got some volunteers help us in different places wherever we go. So people get on the Mulgabore train, we say.
At Pajama, are there any opportunities for the band to collaborate with other artists or participate in workshops or talks during the festival?
We're not participating in any of the official Pajama events. However, because Kutcher Edwards is coming to town, we connected with Kutcher when we were in Melbourne. I mean, I've known Kutcher over the years, but he came into the Kindred Studios in Yeovil, where Songlines are based, and just met the band and connected. He's become a patron of sorts. He's supported them with instruments and also with singing, coaching, and just being, you know, a mentor. And also Bunna Laurie from Coloured Stone and his son Jason, Lee Scott. So they're playing at Pajama. And so we're all going to go into the studio and have a jam at Karma on Friday, I think. And they're going to do some live recording there. Kutcher already sang on the album. And he also got up at Brunswick Ballroom and sang with the band. Any opportunity. And then after this, we're continuing on and we're having a workshop in Ingwala, which is near to Mulgabore. We're planning a, with the family, we're all putting together, you know, planning a music festival in Ingwala at the end of the year, and hopefully that will something that, the community will take it on and it will continue. It's and so Kutcher's coming out and Bunna and Jason are coming out. We've got the local studio, Black Reef, are coming out with the back line and a lot of community, and we're going to run the program with the kids in the day. We've got Mulgabore School and Alcuda School and some people coming over from, I think, Harps Range with Children's Ground. So we're going to have a really great few days, and then we'll have a little concert there as well. So Mulgabore, Kutcher and Coloured Stone members will be, and all the kids in the community will have this beautiful concert. So it really is, we're bringing a lot of what the Mulgabore, they're doing it when they're travelling around, we're bringing those people back home and involving the whole community with those people so that, we can all share the love,
It was to be said that they sing in language and in English. So it's not just for English-speaking audiences. They also really relate to their community and their roots.
That's right. For example, on the album, we've got a couple of songs that were written by Alvin and all the band, their uncle David Bird. He's sibling to all of their parents are a bird, either the mother or the father is a bird. They're all part of that family. And they're Mudgeta speakers, predominantly. And Alvin and the band have turned them into these hard rock. But really, the treatment of the songs is really great, and the family just love it. David loves it. It's really been sanctioned. So we're really excited to put those out. And when we're at Mona Foam, and I'm sure it's going to be the same, it's going to be fantastic at Pajama. When they played those songs at Mona Foma in Tassie early March, the 2nd of March, there was a mosh pit. People were just, everyone was drawn to that, and they rushed in, and it was very exciting. But we're really, really excited about playing at home, because all the communities know about Mulgabore Hard Rock now, especially out in their region, but around all of the remote communities. They're so excited to and can come now to Pajama and be part of that. And see, just like the prodigal sons and daughters have come home and be able to celebrate together. They're always wondering, see on Facebook and everything, where we are, we're here, we're there, we're everywhere. And they're like, now they're coming home. So everyone is really excited to be able to come to Pajama.
Rebecca McLean, thank you very much for joining us on NITV Radio, and talking to us about the exciting Malgabo Hard Rock Band and the upcoming performance in the sidelines of Pajama 2024.
Hey, thank you.
We must now step aside for a break, and when we come back, we head to southwest Queensland in a conversation with Sam Thaide, talking to us about the Queensland Outback Trails, celebrating Indigenous culture and music.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Outback Trail 2024 is well underway with a spectacular showcase of music, culture and adventure across the heart of Queensland's Outback. To get some insights into the trail, I'm joined by the Outback Trail host and event ambassador, the legendary Brisbane Bronco, Queensland Maroon and Australian Kangaroo Rugby League player Sam Thaide. Sam, welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
The event has been underway since last Sunday and it's going to be running until next Sunday. What's it like so far?
Oh, it's been fantastic. There definitely has been a lot of driving, but it's given me the chance and opportunity to see a lot of Queensland that I haven't seen. Stopping at a lot of little towns along the way. And the best part about it, it's almost like the ultimate road trip playlist. I get to go to all these different venues, listen to different artists, and enjoy myself along the way. So this was a very hard one to get across the line with my wife to remind her that, yes, this is work at the end of the day. I am still working out here because, you know, some of the things I've been posting on Instagram and she's been seeing at home, she hasn't been happy. So, you know, I do absolutely love and adore and appreciate what my wife does for our family and my two daughters. I do spend a fair bit of time on the road for work, and she's very, very, not necessarily happy, but, you know, she encourages me to get out and do more things like this as much as possible.
Say that this the trail offers a platform for emerging artists like Lauren Ryan, who really shined at the event, as well as established legends like Troy Casadelli to showcase their talent. What are your thoughts on the importance of supporting and promoting Queensland's diverse musical landscape?
First of all, the most important thing is the opportunities that come for these small country towns. A lot of these small places rely on tourist dollars. They've got a lot of hardworking people that live and work in these areas, but it does take that tourist money to keep them afloat. So if we can highlight those areas by bringing some of the artists we've been able to bring on these trails, it definitely helps. Again, on the flip side, it also offers a chance and opportunity for young emerging artists. You just mentioned Lauren Ryan. She was absolutely amazing. And the biggest compliment I can give her was I was standing at the back of the show and listening to her sing, and an elderly couple came up to me and they said that they were running late to the show, but they could hear the show in the background and they made sure they hurried because they thought that Jessica Malboy was there. So what a great compliment to an amazing young emerging artist. And she's got a lot of talent. She's just growing and developing into what I think is going to be a superstar country music artist here in Australia for sure. And then you've got the old hands in Uncle Troy Casadelli. He was brilliant. One of the greatest storytellers I know. He explained some of his songs on stage, and then when he sings, you can just close your eyes and imagine every word that he's singing, and it paints a picture in your mind.
I heard that Lauren Ryan was actually tearful at the end of her event because of her performance, because it's the first time that she performs in front of a public and she gets so much applause and calls for an encore.
Yeah, it was great for her. She did get an encore. It was her first ever encore. She was pretty pumped with that. And yeah, she entertained the whole crowd, and she was really, really smart in her set list and what she wanted to play. She did want to weave some of her own original songs in there, and I think that's fantastic, and that's very, very smart of her. But she wanted to entertain the crowd too, and she did her own version and takes on some country classics, and everyone was singing along with her and absolutely loved her show. And it would have been even nice, actually, at some point in time, and who knows, it might happen in the future to see her and Troy sing together.
Yeah, I know Troy loves fostering new talents. Met him a couple of times, and so I'm really, really working very, very well with emerging artists and mentoring and helping them build their careers. We also heard about the incredible thing that he did during this festival, sheltering fans during the rain. Have you had any similar experiences yourself where you had moments of connection with fans during such an expected thing as rain disrupting everything, and you have to kind of improvise your intervention?
Well, back in the day, we just kept on playing in the rain. And, you know, if it wasn't for electricity, I think very, very expensive speakers, Troy would have kept on playing through the rain. I think he was a little bit confused at first because being on stage, the crowd is not necessarily lit up. The stage is lit up. So he couldn't see and understand what the kerfuffle was when the rain rolled in, and a fair few people were moving around while he was singing a song. But we had to stop the show for about 10 minutes as the rain passed. And Troy literally sat at the front of the stage. He was having conversations with people, taking photos, signing autographs, having some really, really good connective moments. And it actually made for the second part of his show. He came back on and sang about five or six more songs. And it made that second half of the show even better. I think everyone felt like family at that point in time because Troy was so open and welcoming to everyone that it made for an even better experience for the second half of his show.
And besides the music, there's also some very, very powerful yarns and great food, including some really great culinary experiences provided by Mark Olive himself.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Mark Olive's dinner tonight in Quilpie. It's a fantastic opportunity to do a beautiful five-course degustation underneath the stars. What an experience it's going to be. I've been on the road, like I said, so a lot of my meals have been pub steaks. So I'm looking forward to a chance, the opportunity to try something and eat something different tonight.
Yeah, especially by the legendary Mark Olive. You've been involved in various community initiatives throughout your career. How do you see your role as an ambassador for the Outback Trail influencing and inspiring the next generation, particularly the youngsters and Indigenous youth?
Well, I think that's where they've probably absolutely nailed it, in the sense of community engagement, getting TOs involved, but then also making sure a lot of the artists do come from Indigenous backgrounds, and really, really highlighting some of these smaller country areas. So the balance of this whole tour has been brilliant. It's been a lot of driving and a lot of distance that will be covered by the end of it. But feedback so far, we're kind of, you know, just past the halfway point. Feedback so far from everyone has been absolutely brilliant, and everyone's loved what's been delivered so far.
As the trail continues its journey, we've got a few more days to go. What message do you hope participants take away from this experience? And how do you see events like this contributing to the cultural vibrancy of Queensland's Outback community?
Well, I think the hardest part is what happens on the TV, on the news channels, is we see a lot of broadcast and talk on radio about Southeast Queensland. Not a lot of people know about Western Queensland, and there's some beautiful little towns out here. So what I hope people take away from this is I hope they listen to some new artists and find out and figure out who they are. And you get that through the intimate concerts that we have been putting on. I hope that people return to these places. I hope they've got a slice of Western Queensland that they love. And, you know, we do have a lot of grey nomads on this trip. It's been brilliant to see. And I hope that they do come out here in tougher times as well. It's absolutely beautiful out here at the moment. There's been a lot of rain around. Everything is green. And the hardest part is, you know, at some point in time, these guys are going to go through a bit of a struggle. It's going to be a bit of a hard time out here with drought. And that's when I hope that people do return and show up and come back.
Sam Thaide, thank you very much for joining us on ITV Radio. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, if you want to listen to this conversation again or any of the stories that we aired in the program today, you can find them on our website, sbs.com.au/NITV Radio. And this brings us to the end of today's program. I'm Bertrand Tungandame, thanking you for your company this Friday afternoon. Till next time, bye for now. Yalu.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.